Welcome to another episode of the Retail Sales Motivation Podcast. My name's Baraka. I'm your host and sales coach. This week, we will be talking about the presentation and specifically product knowledge. This whole topic of the presentation is going to be a series for the next few weeks. We're going to dive into specific aspects of the presentation and try to attack a lot of that meat that's still on the bone there and try to come away with some deep dives in topics related to the presentation that will help you directly make more money when you're putting it into practice. So before we got started, though, I did want to give a shout out to all of you out there who is listening to this via all of the different platforms that we're now on. We're on Apple Podcasts, we're on Spotify, we're on Google Podcasts, we're on, all of them. So thank you very, very much. And for those of you who are on Apple Podcasts specifically and are rating us, also on Spotify rating us, thank you so much. That definitely helps us be found by other people. So I appreciate your evangelism there and taking the time. I actually wanted to read a couple of the reviews that I've gotten so far on the Apple Podcasts. I thought that it was pretty cool and I really appreciated it. Let's see. Kimoni wrote, "Grateful to you, Baraka, for this episode." Well, you know, Kimoni, I'm grateful to you for listening. Thank you so much. Let's see. Luis wrote, "Very useful tips to increase commissions and motivation." Thanks, Luis. I'm trying to do my best. And hopefully every week you find something useful for your commissions to keep you motivated and keep you making money. And Harry wrote, "I'm so happy I found this podcast. My first listen was just last night and I'm hooked. I listen to many different podcasts, but this podcast is now at the top of my list." Wow, Harry. Well, I'll tell you what, you're now at the top of my list of listeners. So thank you very much, all of you, for taking the time. I really do appreciate it from the bottom of my heart. And hopefully this proves a worthwhile use of your time.
When you feel like giving up, don't. When you're thinking about giving up, don't. When it look like you ain't gonna make it, keep going. When they tell you you can't, come on, man, who are they? When they tell you you're not gonna make it, don't believe them, man. Don't believe them. You got to be relentless.
Don't give up. Don't give up. Stay in it. Stay focused.
Quitting guarantees the failure. Once you quit, it rules out any chance of succeeding. The mere waking up every day, putting the next foot in front of the next foot, at least keeps you in the game.
And we're back. So let's get into this week's topic. I wanted to start with a story of my own stupidity as a cautionary tale for you. So many years ago when my son was, I think he was like 5 years old, I decided that I was going to take him fishing. Now, I grew up in Harlem, New York, and have never gone fishing in my life. It just wasn't something that my dad did. I didn't do it. It just wasn't something that interested me. So now, though, my son is five. We had, we're now living in Virginia. And I'm like, okay, I'm going to raise my son differently. I'm going to teach him how to be, a fisherman. So I don't know where that came from, but I go out and I buy, the rod and reel and bait. I bought worms, live worms, and I'm going to teach him something, rah, 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 caveman, I'm going to teach him how to be man. Yeah. So I take him to this park and with this pond. It's beautiful. And, you know, I take them to kind of a spot where, you know, we won't be bothered by traffic and things. You know, it's quiet. And, you know, show him how to put the wriggly worm on the hook, you know, and he's a little, you know, squeamish about that, but it was cool. You know, I'm feeling like, yes, man, look, son, this is how you do to the lesser creatures. You put them on and torture them so that they can, you know, get you big fish, you know. So, so now we're ready to, you know, cast our lines. And this is where the trouble happens. So I don't know how to cast the line. I don't know. There's a button on the rod. And to this day, I do not know whether you're supposed to push the button and then, you know, throw it out there, or if you're supposed to throw it and then push the button, or if it's like a halfway thing, if, you know, is it a rhythm thing? I have no idea, right? And do you think that I had asked anyone before I took my son on this trip? Nope. I didn't ask anyone. I didn't Google it. I didn't look for a YouTube. Nothing. Nothing. I just go out there and I'm going to just do it because it must be easy. Other people do it, right? So clearly I don't need to research it. It must be something in our DNA. It's just something simple. So I don't even know, to be honest, I don't even know what kind of bait the fish in that pond eat. I don't know if they needed worms. And now that I'm thinking about it, I'm not entirely certain that there were fish in that pond at all. Except that I did see, as we were walking away, there were some men out there fishing. So I have to assume that there were fish. So, but I hadn't researched it, right? So we're throwing our casting our lines. And because I don't know how to do it, our hook is not traveling more than maybe 3 feet in front of us. It's just, we're throwing and it's just going straight down, plop. And we're on the shore in the mud, and we're doing this and just doing it and doing it and doing it. And of course, nothing is happening, right? We're not going to catch any fish. Nothing is going on. So after like 20 minutes of us doing this and him looking at me like, is this it? And me getting mad because I'm embarrassed because I'm being shown that, you know, up for my ignorance, I say, you know what? This is stupid. Let's go. So we pack it up. We quit. Pack it up. I take him to McDonald's. You know, he's playing in a place that he's happy now. I'm angry, not at myself for not researching or whatever. I rationalize it. Oh, it's the fish weren't biting. Oh, you know, the rod was defective. Oh, you know, those worms weren't fat and juicy enough. I'm blaming everything. It was too hot. I even blamed my son at one point. Oh, he was just too impatient for us to sit out there. Really, you know, he was too young to be, you know, to have the patience to do it. Everything but the fact that my stupidity was caused by my own ego. Okay, fast forward a few years later, my son is in the Cub Scouts. And so we're going to go on this camping trip with his troop. And we're going to, part of the camping trip is going to be a fishing thing. So all the dads, you know, they with their boys, and they've got their, you know, all their equipment and fishing tackle and waders and all this stuff, boots and hats and all boxes full of different kinds of lures and bait and things. Okay, what did I do? Well, I learned the lesson wrong the first time. Remember, I was blaming everything but me. So I blamed the rod. It just so happened that I saw an infomercial for some stupid fishing pole that you pump like imagine a super soaker, right? You pump it and then you aim it and shoot it. And the hook is supposed to like take off, right? And go like hundreds of yards out, right? You know. So, of course, I'm watching the commercial like, that's what I need. So I buy two of them. And leading up to this camping trip with the Cub Scouts, my son and I, we're in the basement and we're like practicing, right? You know, and we're shooting, pumping it and shooting it, pumping and shooting it. And in the basement, it seems like it's going pretty far. Well, it's not really, but in our small basement, it seems like it. So we're going now, and I'm confident that, oh man, I'm going to impress everybody. I'm going to be the man. I'm going to come up with this thing and this new technology, and this is going to be great. And everyone's going to be envious of us, and we're going to be the, you know. Okay. So we get there. Everyone's, you know, casting off and doing great, you know, and we pull out our stupid toys with live worms, right? Did that again. And we're shooting them, and they go maybe 6 feet and then plop down in the water. So everyone's looking at us. Well, I should say they're looking at me like I'm the idiot, because I am. I'm getting angry because it's still not going out anywhere near as far as theirs is going out. Now, one of the people on this camping trip is my son's godfather and his son. And so and this man was an Eagle Scout. So he's an outdoorsman and everything. And he's looking at me just shaking his head. And because would you think that I would have just asked him, hey, what do I do? How do I do, you know, fishing? What does this take? You know, what's the technique? What do I need to know? Do you think I would have even asked him? No. Why? Because of my ego. So the moral of this story is, oh, well, let me finish the story. So, of course, we didn't catch anything. So we stood out there for like, again, like 15, 20 minutes looking stupid. And then we just packed it up and went back to the campsite. And I think we like made s'mores or something. Like, so to this day, I don't think my son believes that I know jack about fishing. And it's true. I don't know jack about fishing. And I think that when he grows up and, you know, gets married and has children, I think that he will basically teach his children that his father is an idiot when it comes to outdoor stuff. And he'd be right. But the moral of the story is that pride kept me stupid. My ego kept me from asking the most basic questions of anyone who knew more than me. It kept me from doing my own private research. It kept me from admitting that I didn't know what I was doing. Don't let pride keep you from getting the information you need to make the money you're there to make. Product knowledge is one of those areas that pride keeps people from doing better. How much do you know about your product? I work in the furniture business. And so, you know, we sell reclining sets. We sell stationary living room sets. We sell custom living room sets. We sell dining room sets. We sell bedrooms. We sell mattresses. You know, it's a variety of products. And each product is distinct. Each product is made differently. Each product has different features to it. Each product, different colors, different styles. There are different aspects to everything. The more I know about a product, the more I can translate that knowledge into benefits that are going to help the customer. And let's break it down even more simply. The more you know about your products, the more confident you will be when you're talking to your customers. Because let's face it, as salespeople, especially new salespeople, one of our biggest fears when approaching a customer is that they will ask a question that we don't know the answer to. And that feeds the insecurity, it feeds the fear, it feeds the hesitancy to approach that customer with confidence and with self-assuredness and with joy in our hearts and not being in our own heads and being focused on them, because we're focused on our fears. So product knowledge is key. How much you know about your product, you should know your product so well that you could be able to tell everything about it with probably the only exception being that you don't know the exact person on the assembly line who built it. But you should know, like, you know, where was it built? How was it built? Why was it styled in this way? You know, what does this particular feature do? How does that benefit the customer? All of these things you need to know, not because you're going to vomit all over your customer all this product knowledge, but because you're now going to be confident that anything the customer asks you, you will have an answer for. One of the worst feelings you have is to be working with a customer and, you know, you're feeling good, they're feeling good, you're building rapport and they're starting to trust you. And then they ask you a question about the product and you say, I don't know. Let me find out. I mean, I don't know. Let me find out is probably the best thing you can probably say in that situation. If you don't know the answer, right? Let me find out the answer. But you know, and the customer knows that your position as a trusted advisor with that customer has now been diminished, even if it's just a little bit. So knowing what you know about the products, being an expert on those products, that's going to benefit your customer, but it's also going to benefit you. Okay. So whatever it is that you need to do to learn about your products, is it, you know, if it's talking with other salespeople who, you know the products better, if it's getting, you know, corporate training from the, you know, manufacturer about that particular product, if it's, you know, researching with your merchandisers, with the company buyers who, you know, are buying that merchandise for your store to sell, asking them like, hey, can you tell me about this product? You know, what's special about it? You know, how is it made? You know, getting the information that you need. The more information you get, even if it's not from a conventional source, your sales manager may not know the answer. Your store manager may not know the answer, but that doesn't mean that you shouldn't take the time to find out the answers. And that can take, you know, time. It could, you know, your product, your new product might be on the floor a week before you get the answers that you're looking for, even 2 weeks before you get all the answers that you're looking for. But the more information that you're getting about that product, even if it trickles in every day in a slow drip, it's going to make the difference for the next customer. And you're always trying to make the difference for the next customer. Anything you missed for this one, you want to make sure that you're not going to be able to miss it for the next one. All right. That's it. I'm keeping these segments shorter as far as, you know, my teaching, my coaching, because I was asked to, that I can be a bit verbose. So I'm calling it by popular demand. There are two books that I want to recommend to you. One is on this specific topic. It's called Product Knowledge Pinpoint Sales Skill Development Training Series. It's by Timothy Bednarz. It's available on Amazon. There's a link to it in the show notes. And the other book that I want to recommend is my own book. It's something that I did a few years ago. It was a project that was close to my heart. I love motivational quotes. And so I compiled a book of my favorites. It's called Wisdom Shared, 568 Stirring Quotes to Get You Moving Towards Your Dreams. It's also available on Amazon, and there'll be a link to it in the show notes as well. And the last thing I wanted to promote is that we have a website that will be launching this week, retailsalesmotivation.com. And it's basically just going to support the podcast with, you know, information that we shared in the podcast will be, you know, summarized on the website, along with links to things that I'm promoting on the site, just like, you know, on the podcast, like, you know, for example, the books or anything else that I point you to hit the show notes for, you'll be able to find on the website as well as, you know, being able to reach out to me directly with your suggestions, your comments, your questions. I especially am interested in your questions because I'd like to be able to use those questions to be able to answer them as topics on the air.
I have never met anybody who became incredibly successful in any area of their life until they had suffered and sweated and sacrificed and kept their focus and fought through tears and trials and tests. And if you have a dream and you commit to it, it will come to pass.
And we're back. All right. Let's close with this week's affirmation. Sales is a skill, and that's good news because it means anyone can learn how to do it. Anyone can make a living doing it. Anyone can build an exceptional life doing it. And like all skills, what separates the mediocre from the superstars is the effort it takes to prepare and practice before you ever get in front of the customer. If you don't prepare, you don't deserve to win. There are people far more talented than me, but I will never let anyone work harder than me. And I promise that if you dedicate yourself to this craft, this profession called sales, you will be rewarded. Have a great week. If you want a thing bad enough to go out and fight for it, to work day and night for it, to give up your time and your peace and your sleep for it, if all that you dream and scheme is about it, and life seems useless and worthless without it, if you'll gladly sweat for it and fret for it and plan for it and lose all your terror of the opposition for it, and if you simply go after that thing that you want with all of your capacity, strength and sagacity, faith, hope, confidence, and stern pertinacity, if neither cold poverty, nor famine, nor gout, nor sickness, nor pain, nor body, nor brain can keep you away from that thing that you want, if dogged and grim you besiege and beset it, with the help of God, you'll get it.